Chapter 5. The Sphinxes circled east on the Ring Island, gradually trending outward from the inner shore. Following in their cleared wake, we finally reached the opposite beach and looked across the broad outer lake toward the distant crater rim. The Sphinxes conveyed their burden to a low, flat building constructed of bare blast metal, gray and angular. This structure lacked the nodes and projectors that created the ornate outer shells common in Forerunner architecture. Indeed, from the sky, it might have looked like a forgotten storage depot, and against the line of tall palms from the lake, it would hardly have been noticed at all. More and more mysterious. The four Sphinxes approached in ranks of two. The pair carrying the didact paused before a wide descending ramp, the entrance. I heard the sound of huge doors swinging wide. The Sphinxes sidled down the ramp into the building. The other two sank to the ground outside and folded their legs and arms with faint whirs and sighs. The blue glow of their joints dimmed and vanished. We walked slowly past the immobile pair, skittish, uncertain whether they were guardians or just monuments once again. Bravest of all, Riser stopped to pat the pitted surface of the nearest machine, drawing an exclamation from Shakus.
"Don't do that, they could vaporize us."
"Don't know that,"
Riser said, eyes narrow, ears up, lips straight. No doubt, this was his courage face. Indeed, the Sphinxes looked as stolid and ancient as ever. I peered down into the entrance. Sand had drifted down the ramp, marked by the dimpling steps of the other Sphinxes. Darkness lay at the bottom. The doors were still open. "You are what you dare." "Stay here," I told Shakus, and started down the ramp. He reached to grab my shoulder.
"Not your business,"
he said, as if concerned for my safety. I gently pulled away his hand. The touch of his flesh was not as repugnant as I had thought. It felt little different from the skin of a young Forerunner. My own. Surely, we could not actually be brothers, both shaped by the precursors. "I think the librarian wanted all of us here," I said. My fear had merged with my boldness, and some other quality I mistook for courage, forming foolish resolve. I was like an insect flying toward a flame, certain it promised, if not complete justification and salvation, at least supreme adventure. "Someone slipped messages into your brains before you were born. Someone told you to lure a Forerunner. You sang the proper codes, and the cryptum opened." Shakus formed his mouth into an O, then knelt and held his arms over his head, facing away from the ramp. Riser joined him, glancing up at me as if unsure this was the proper way to observe the ritual.
"The librarian touches all," Shaka said,
and together they lapsed into whispered chants. I continued down into the darkness. The first chamber within the building was wide and dank, four times my height, just barely enough to admit the Sphinxes. Coolness pooled while warm air swirled above my waist. A dim greenish light grew in the darkness, and I saw in outline the Sphinxes facing each other over a broad pit filled with silvery liquid. The sling containing the didact draped between the Sphinxes, mere centimeters above the pool. I squatted as close as I dared to the edge. Around me, for the next few minutes, all was still. Then the jarring voice again addressed me. "Forerunner, do you witness this return?" I tried to retreat, but a brilliant white light shot down from the roof of the chamber and held me. The light shimmered and removed my will to move. "Do you witness?"
"I witness," I said, my voice low and tremulous.
"Do you speak for this one about to be recalled?"
I don't know what to say.
"Do you speak?"
"I speak for this one.
Do you defend the decision to bring the Didact back from Ageless Peace?
To me, the shriveled body looked dead. I wondered if that meant the Didact was about to be resurrected, something I had been taught was impossible. Clearly, I understood nothing of what was happening, but by now I knew the drill well enough to simply say, "I defend the decision." From the roof of the chamber, four ribbon sections of personal armor, big enough for a full-rate Promethean, dropped slowly through dilations. The pieces hovered on both sides of the sling, and from them depended long tentacles, transparent as glass, which quickly filled with three colors of liquid, the basic electrolytes and nutrients required for long journeys. Most Forerunner armor was equipped to keep the wearer alive for years without outside sustenance. "Approach," the voice instructed. "The Didact is unaware of this realm. Administer the reviving fluids." My whole body shook, but I stepped into the pool and waded through the silvery liquid. My legs warmed, the tentacles curled toward me, not aggressive, simply offering, waiting. The sphinxes had spread the net in such a way that it opened at the top, revealing the coiled form. The Didact's face was now visible for the first time. It was indeed a strong face, the skin drawn tight against the natural skull beneath. "Apply the electrolytes," the voice told me. Obligingly, the red-filled tentacle pushed forward and I grasped it. "To his mouth?" I asked. "Push through the lips. Dehydration will be reversed. Rigor will be suspended." I leaned in, trying not to touch the shriveled arms and not succeeding. The skin was not cold, but warm. The Didact was not dead. I bumped the end of the tentacle, a narrow spigot, against the Didact's dried lips, then pried them apart, revealing wide, grayish-white teeth. The spigot released a flood of red liquid between the clenched jaws. Most of it spilled down the shriveled cheeks and drained into the pool. I then applied two shades of blue fluid. Came a rustling within the net, the large body actually stirring. The sections of armor flexed above the Didact as if eager to embrace and protect him. "Timelessness is deep. He returns, but slowly. Lift and stretch his arm. Gently," the voice instructed. Had the arm not been shriveled, the weight might have defeated me. But I did as I was told. I walked around the sphinxes, lifted and rotated the other arm, then straightened and flexed the legs, almost as stiff as wood, until the skin took on a different sheen and a kind of suppleness returned. I followed all of the instructions of the voice that vibrated through my jaw, massaging and cleansing the Didact with handfuls of the silvery liquid as he took in more renewing fluids. For the next 4 hours, I helped painstakingly restore the shriveled Promethean from his long slumber, from that profound, meditative exile that was a dim legend among Forerunners my age. Return him from the joy and peace of timeless space. His roomy eyes opened. Two protective lenses fell away, and he blinked, then looked up at me with a terrible scowl.
"I curse you,"
he murmured, his voice like rocks grinding on the floor of a deep ocean.
"How long? How long have I been here?"
I said nothing. I had no idea how long. He twitched and struggled, but the net restrained him, that he might not move too quickly, too soon. After an awkward time, he fell back, exhausted, and fluids leaked from his nose and lips. He tried to speak, but It was difficult. He managed one more utterance, a question.
Has the damn thing finally been fired?
Go now. It is done, the voice told me. I scrambled out of the pool and left the chamber. The humans waited for me, but I was too moved and too frightened to speak.